हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम अस्मदाचार्यवहै ओम शांति 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 ओम सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारंभं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। सो वी आर स्टार्टिंग टुडे तत्वबोधः। तत्वबोधः इज अ वेदांतिक मैनुअल ट्रीटाइज। In Sanskritam, it is said to be Prakarana Granthaha. Vedanta Prakarana Granthaha. So any manual treatise is a Prakarana Granthaha. And this is a Vedanta Prakarana Granthaha. So there is a definition also, what is a prakarana granthaha in a verse form. So many of you are very new, so I don't want to frighten you with some definitions of what is a prakarana grantha in our very first class. But anyway, gradually I'll see you understand that. So prakaranam or prakaraha means the mode. Prakaranam is a neuter noun. Prakaraha is the mode. Masculine word. Prakaraha, prakaranam. So the text which helps you understand the teaching of the original text, a textbook which helps you understand the subject matter, the contents of the original text without any distortion. So whatever is subject matter of the original text, the same subject matter is given in a lucid, simple, understandable manner here. And some of the people requested me before even starting the text, make it clear. The purpose of studying the text. So the purpose of studying the text is the same purpose of studying the Vedanta Shastra. So even though the entire Veda is a pramanam, a means of knowledge, here we take the Veda Anta, the end portion of Veda, as a means of knowledge. Because understanding the Vedanta Shastram will help us understand the core vision of the entire Veda. And Vedanta Shastram, as you all know, consists of many Upanishads. And it is this Vedanta Shastram which is also known as Jnana Kandaha. So we have the three khandas of the Veda. The bigger portion of the Veda is called Karma Kandaha. Again, there's a middle small portion which is called Upasana Kandaha. And the end portion is called Jnana Kandaha. And it is this end portion is known as Veda Antashastram, because Antaha itself means end. And his end portion, otherwise called Veda Antashastram, consists of many Upanishads. And any Prakrana, Vedanta Prakrana Grantaha, presents the same contents of the Upanishads. But more systematically, in easily understandable manner, the teaching is given here. Okay, before even we enter into the text, Vedanta Shastram is studied for the attainment of knowledge of the truth. Vedanta Shastra Shastram is studied for the attainment of knowledge of the truth. Truth means, what is the truth here? We use this expression truth even for our speech. Okay, truthfulness in speech. But here, the truth is the truth of the universe. The reality of the universe. When we say the reality of the universe or the truth of the universe, what does it mean? So the truth is that without which the universe cannot exist at all. The truth is that because of the presence of which alone the universe enjoys existence. So that which lends existence for this universe is the truth, the reality. In a simple example, we can understand that with reference to ocean, it is the water which lends existence for the ocean. Without the water, we cannot understand, there won't be meaning for the word ocean. Therefore, with reference to ocean, we can say water is the reality. It is the water which is in the form of the ocean. There will not be something called ocean without the water. Therefore, with reference to ocean, we say water is the reality. Similarly, there is a reality, there is a truth without which the universe cannot exist at all. And because of which alone the universe enjoys existence. It is the truth which is in the form of the universe. Example is easy to understand. So what is the truth? What is the reality? With reference to this entire cosmos. Jagataha Satyam. Jagat Satyam. జగత్ సత్తా, జగత్తః సత్. వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ ట్రూత్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్? వీ డు నాట్ నో. We do not know what is that reality with reference to this universe. We do not know that we do not know. We do not know that we need to know. So we are ignorant of the truth. This ignorance of this reality is a very common that there's no human being who is born with knowledge. Everyone is born ignorant of the reality. So Vedanta Shastra study is for the attainment of the knowledge of this truth. The truth is which is already there. Like the water is already there with reference to ocean. The no wave needs to attain the water. Already water is there. Similarly, when you say the universe is, truth alone is. We say when you say ocean is, water alone is. When you say waves are, water alone is. Similarly here, when you say the universe is, the truth alone is. The reality alone is. So, we don't need to attain the reality. Reality cannot be attained also. But what can be attained is the knowledge of the reality. So truth need not be attained. Knowledge of the truth can be, has to be attained. Now the question comes, so to attain the knowledge of the truth, why should we study the Upanishad? Why should we study the Vedanta Shastram? Because for attaining any knowledge, we need a means of knowledge. Even to know this external world of objects, even to know the objects of this world, which we perceive them objectively, definitely we need means of knowledge. That is why naturally we are blessed with the 5 sense powers. We only have 5 sense powers, known as Jnana Indriyani. And each sense power serves as a means of knowledge of its corresponding object. So seeing power obtaining in our eyes cannot be used as a means of knowledge of the object called sound. So seeing power in your eyes serves as a means of knowledge of the object called light and all other forms which reflect light. Similarly, your hearing power serves as a means of knowledge of the sound. Different forms of sound. So the power of smelling in your nose serves as a means of knowledge of the object called smell, fragrance. Your power of knowledge, power of Your sense power, obtaining in your tongue, serves as a means of knowledge of the taste. So there is a subtle, there's a power of knowledge. Obtaining in your skin, all over the body, which serves as a means of knowledge of touch. So without these five sense powers, the knowledge of the respective objects is not possible. Which means any knowledge of anything presupposes the appropriate valid means of knowledge. And means of knowledge is called Pramana Granthaha. Means of knowledge is called Pramanam or Pramana Granthaha. Valid means of knowledge. If all of you can say there is sunrise, the sun has risen, there's bright sunlight. All of us can say this because we have valid means of knowledge of the light called seeing power. And here also, to know the truth, to have knowledge of the truth, we need a means of knowledge. So what is that means of knowledge you can use to know the truth? Here, to know the reality, you cannot use your own sense powers as means of knowledge. You cannot use your even intellect as a means of knowledge. Of course, we're all blessed with the mind, very unique mind, which also is an instrument of knowledge. But we cannot use our mind or sense powers as means of knowledge. Why? Because the truth is one thing. Which cannot be known through any of your own means of knowledge. See, what is to be known? What is to be known is different from you. And you are the one who wants to know. You are the one who wants to know the truth. And what is to be known is different from what you are. Different from you are. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know the light, if you want to know anything other than yourself, you can use your sense organs as means of knowledge. You want to hear the sound, you want to know the light, you want to know the smell. All these different objects, you are the knower, and they're all objects of your knowledge. So to know anything, which is different from you, you can use your sense organs as means of knowledge. But here the secret is that truth of the whole cosmos is the truth of every being also. Because every individual being, a living thing, a non-living thing, a mobile being immobile may be, everything in this universe forms part of the universe, the whole. Therefore, the truth of the entire universe is the truth of every being here. Just as the truth of the entire ocean is the truth of every wave. Similarly, the truth of the entire universe is the truth of every individual being. Therefore, the truth is the truth of every individual being, the truth of every one of you, truth of every one of us, truth of the one who wants to know the truth. The truth of the universe is the same one and the same truth of everyone who wants to know the truth. Therefore, what is to be known is not an object. What is to be known? If what is to be known is an object other than yourself, different from you, then you can use these sense organs as means of knowledge. But here, what is to be known is the truth of the entire universe, which happens to be the truth of yourself, truth of the very knower, truth of the one who wants to know, truth of every being. The truth is non-different from you. The truth is non-separate from you. Truth is not away from you. If what is to be known is away from, distant from you, then you can use other means of knowledge. But here the truth, what has to be known, happens to be the truth of yourself. You cannot use any other means of knowledge. And here, you have to use a means of knowledge which is different. And here we say, Vedanta Shastram serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. Pramana Granthaha Pramanam. Which means Vedanta Shastram is going to help you arrive at the truth, not as an object, not as the very truth of the subject, as very you. In fact, the discovery of the truth is discovery of one's own self. Truth has to be discovered as one's own self, as the truth of the discoverer, truth of the knower. That is how truth can be arrived at. Now the question comes, how can we trust that Vedanta Shastram serves as a means of knowledge? What is the proof? On what basis do you say that Vedanta Shastram, Vedanta, serves as a means of knowledge of the truth? Here the answer is, any means of knowledge can be accepted as a means of knowledge only when it serves a purpose. And you can check whether it serves a purpose or not only when you make use of it. It is as simple as that. If you go to any doctor for any problem, the doctor prescribes a medicine. You have to have trust in the words of the doctor. You have to take the medicine. You cannot say without making use of the medicine, without taking the medicine, you cannot disprove, no, the medicine is useless. It does not, it will not cure my disease. It is useless. I will not take this. I cannot disprove the medicine that it is you saying it is useless. It will not cure my disease. At the same time, you cannot simply say, yes, yes, this medicine is very useful. It will definitely cure my disease. You cannot say that also. You must have belief. You must have faith there. Faith is important. Why? To try. You have to try. You must have faith. Then you must try. And when you try, when you make use of the medicine, then you can understand whether it is useful or not. So without making use of it, you cannot say it is useless or it is useful. It serves a purpose or doesn't serve a purpose. Similarly here, Vedanta also must be made use of. We must make use of Vedanta Shastram in terms of studying it. We have to study the Shastra. Once you study with the help of a teacher, definitely you can understand whether it serves as a means of knowledge or not. You must make use of it. Without studying, without making use of it, you cannot simply say, I don't believe it. I don't trust this. If you don't trust this, okay, you can't enjoy the benefit of it. At the same time, you cannot simply say, oh, it is useful. But if you don't study, then it doesn't serve a purpose. So have faith in the teaching and study the Vedanta. Make use of it in terms of studying it and see how it serves a means of knowledge. And next question comes, why should I know the truth? What is the purpose of knowing the truth? The purpose of studying Vedanta is to know the truth. To know the truth, we study Vedanta because it serves as a means of knowledge. But why should I know the truth? We have so many things to do in the world. What should we break our head to know the truth? There must be purpose. In Shastram, there's Swamiji used to quote quite often in his lectures, Prayojanam anudishya mandopi na pravartate. Prayojanam anudishya mandopi na pravartate. Even a fool will not do anything without expecting any result. There must be some benefit. So here Shastram says, if the truth, you know what fullness is. you know what happiness is. Discovery of the truth is actually discovery of happiness. Discovery of the truth is discovery of fullness. And this is, it is this place we have come to know that we do not know happiness. Until now, we think we know what happiness is. We do not even know what happiness is. We know one thing. We know we want to be happy. Say, we do sometimes that we are happy. Whenever we are not unhappy, we do say we are happy. We say this expression, we are happy. And we know we want to be happy. But we do not know what happiness is. And we do not know what happiness is. And here, in discovering what the truth is, we can discover what happiness is. Why? Because truth and happiness are not two different things. Like sun and its light are not two different things. It's inseparable. You cannot count sun as number one, sun's light as second thing. Inseparable. So brilliance is intrinsic nature of the sun. Heat is intrinsic property of fire. You cannot separate fire and its heat. Why heat cannot be separated from the fire? Because heat is the nature, intrinsic nature, intrinsic property of the fire. Similarly, happiness and the truth cannot be separated. Fullness and the truth cannot be separated. So unless and until you know what the truth is, there is no understanding what happiness is. So discovery of the truth is discovery of happiness. And discovery of happiness is being happy. Being happy means happiness. Being happy always, being happy everywhere, and being happy with everybody is happiness. What is happiness? Being happy always, being happy everywhere, being happy with everybody is happiness. And we do not know what it is. Therefore, to discover happiness, which is the very nature of the reality, we need to discover the very reality. And to discover reality, again, not as an object other than self, as my own real nature. Discover reality of the universe, obtaining as my own self, as my own real nature. We need a knowledge, a unique means of knowledge. And that Vedanta Shastram. And here, I repeat this word, Shastram. Shastram is Sanskrit word for scripture. I don't know what is the etymological meaning of the word scripture, but Shastram is derived from the word Shasti Trayate Iti Shastram. The two verbs, Shasti, then Trayate. Shasti means governs. Trayate means protects. So, Shastram is that which protects us by governing our way of life. So that which protects us by governing our way of life is Shastra. It protects from what? It protects us from fear, protects us from sorrow, protects us from unhappiness. It protects us from the fear of death. It protects us from unhappiness. We'll understand elaborately later on. Time being, this much is enough. That which protects us by governing our way of life. Shasti trayate iti shastram. Shasanat trayate iti shastram. Anyway, with this little introduction, let me enter into the topic. Another question can come. Why do we need to discover happiness? Why do we need to discover happiness? If I don't discover happiness, do you think I cannot be happy? Yes. We need to discover happiness because happiness is a common human universal absolute choiceless end, choiceless goal. Choiceless goal, choiceless end to be accomplished. It's a universal end. It's a common human end, and it is an absolute end, ultimate goal of a human life. It is important for us to understand how happiness is a choiceless end. If you ask you the question, do you want to be happy or you want to be happy or unhappy? Definitely we'll all say we want to be happy. Do you want to get tea or hot chocolate? You can choose. Or you can leave all of them, you can go for water. Do you want to study in Oxford or Cambridge? You can choose. Do you want to live in England or Scotland? Choice. Do you want to study physics, chemistry or medicine or arts? You have choice. You have choice. Do you want to marry or not? You have choice. Do you want to have children or not? You have choice. Do you want to follow this faith or that faith? You have choice. Do you want to be happy or not? Is there a choice? Is there a choice? Move your heads so I know. There's no choice. Yeah, I can be unhappy. Can anybody say that? No, there's no choice. It's a choiceless end. And who wants to be happy? People who lived in the past, do you think they wanted to be unhappy? People who want to live now want to be unhappy? People in future, people who are going to be in future, even after thousands of years, they would like to be unhappy? No. Happiness was, happiness has, happiness is, happiness will ever be the choiceless end. Therefore, happiness is choiceless, absolute end. It's a universal end. Thing sought after by people of all times, all places, of all cultures. It's a universal end. We understood how it is choiceless end. We understood how it is universal end. And you have to understand it's an absolute end. It's ultimate goal. For which we analyze our pursuits. We analyze the human pursuits. What is it a human being wants to achieve in life? We all get up, have shower, work, earn money, go do whatever is possible for us, earn our livelihood, we live our lives. But what is it we want to achieve? What is it we want to accomplish in life? So, a human being is naturally driven to pursue something or the other. Very naturally driven. So, whatever a human being wants to accomplish, achieve in one's life, all his ends, all that human being wants to achieve, are categorized into four. As Arthaha, Kamaha, Dharmaha, and Mokshaha. So whatever a human being pursues for security comes under the category of Arthaha. And for a change from his routine, monotonous life, whatever he does comes under the category of the pursuit of Kamaha, pleasure. So say the word Arthaha literally means wealth, money, but implied meaning of the word Arthaha is security. And the word Kamaha literally means desire, but it means a pleasure. A human being pursues pleasures. He pursues different types of pleasures. Sensory pleasures, intellectual pleasures, aesthetic pleasures. Of course, there's another, what's called a dharmaha. So dharmaha is a very, very expressive term, which I'll explain gradually. But here in this context, we can take dharmaha as living a life of values. Being ethical. And the fourth one is called mokshaha. Mokshaha means muktihi, which means freedom, liberation. I'm very, very quickly of completing it. There'll be time I will elaborate on this once I started the text. If you ask the question of these four, Arthaha, Kamaha, Dharmaha, Mokshaha, so whatever a human being pursues for security is Artha, Then you ask the question, what does human being pursue artha for security? Why does a human being want security? Why does he want to be secure? See, he must be secure. He must feel secure to be happy. You know, he pursues anything, money, wealth, etc., to be secure, ultimately for happiness. Even he pursues pleasures for his happiness. He follows, even he wants to be ethical for his happiness. He is unethical also for his happiness only. Therefore, we understand, even though we say there are four pursuits, there is no fifth pursuit. There's a thorough analysis has already said there are only four human pursuits. And anything a human being wants to pursue can be brought under any of these four. Therefore, happiness through the pursuit of artha, by pursuing security, what a human being searches for is happiness. Through pursuit of pleasure, what he wants is happiness. Even by living a life of dharma, following values, what he wants is happiness. Even if he transgresses values, what he wants is happiness. Ultimately, what he seeks through all the pursuits, ultimately what he seeks through security, through enjoyment of pleasures, by living, being ethical, what he actually seeks is happiness. Isn't it true? Is it true or not? Therefore, happiness is the ultimate goal, absolute end. So we say, artha kamas, artha and kama are relative ends pursued for living this life. They had to be pursued for living this life. But is artha and kamaha, the security and pleasure, artha kamaha in terms of security and pleasure, must be pursued for living this life in conformity with the values. Therefore, all these ends are relative ends. And this moksha, the happiness, is the ultimate end. Ultimately, the life is lived for discovering happiness. What is the absolute goal? What is the ultimate purpose of living this life? The ultimate goal of a human life is discovering happiness, which is already there as the very nature of reality, obtaining as one's own self. If you already know, then you must be already, you don't need to. We do not know already. That is why we have to study the Vedanta Shastram. See, I'm just making it, it's a very small, because I didn't want to take too long a time to, in just discussing the introduction itself. That's why I didn't elaborate on this. I have really elaborated in my previous classes, in my introduction to Vedanta classes. But many of you are new, I just want to briefly, quickly introduce the subject matter. So it must be very clear. So when you pursue, when you study the scripture with the great reverence, because it serves as the means of knowledge of the truth. In fact, discovering this truth of the universe as the truth of one's own self, as one's own self, is in fact discovery of even the Lord, discovery of God. There's no special thing or something called God other than the truth. So discovering one's own self is in fact discovering the truth, which is discovery of Bhagavan, the Lord, which is discovery of fullness, discovery of happiness. And it is this discovery which makes one's life absolutely successful, meaningful, and complete. Irrespective of what one has achieved, what one has not, in spite of what one has not, still, accomplishment of this knowledge of the truth definitely makes one's life complete, successful, meaningful. No doubt. And it must be very clear, one must be convinced of the fact that moksha is nothing but discovery of happiness, discovery of freedom is discovery of happiness. Discovery of happiness is discovery of freedom. Because in being unhappy, there is limitation. You feel limited. You feel bound in being unhappy. In happiness, there is limitlessness. There is freedom. Therefore, freedom, even though the word moksha means freedom, what is implied by the word freedom is happiness. Because you are free from the hold of, you are free from unhappiness. You are free from sorrow. You are free from sadness, which is happiness. We'll discuss it again further. So happiness is my absolute, ultimate, choiceless goal. It must be clear for you. Only then you know the value of the knowledge. Unless you know the value of knowledge, you cannot be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. So commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible only when you know the value of knowledge. You understand the value of knowledge only when you understand that how happiness is your choiceless end. You know the value of happiness. So when you study the Vedanta Shastram with the reverence, it serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. And it is the knowledge of the truth which is going to help you discover even happiness. Then the study of the scripture becomes a spiritual pursuit. So without knowing the value of the knowledge, simply, just for the intellectual pleasure, I want to study scriptures. Means it becomes an academic pursuit. And when we teach Vedanta, it is a spiritual pursuit. It is not mere academic. It is not taught with mere academic interest. That is very important. Am I studying the scripture? Is it an academic pursuit? I'm doing it with academic interest, or is it a spiritual pursuit for me? It becomes a spiritual pursuit, then we are very serious. We are committed to the pursuit of the knowledge. Because I know, I understand all my pursuits, all that I want to do in my life are ultimately for my being peaceful and happy. And here is a fact revealed that discovery of the truth serves as a means to discover happiness. Even the truth and happiness are not two different things. Initially we say knowledge is a means to accomplish the end called freedom from limitations, freedom from unhappiness. Therefore, we say knowledge is the means, moksha is the end. But now we need to understand knowledge and moksha. Knowledge of the truth and the discovery of the truth and discovery of freedom, discovery of happiness are identical. Even though we say knowledge of the truth is the means, attainment of freedom is the end, we say initially, but later on, we have to understand this fact that they are identical. Knowledge is freedom. Knowledge is happiness. And to have that knowledge, we need a means of knowledge, which is Vedanta. And instead of studying Vedanta directly, we are going to understand all the Vedantic concepts. All the technical terms need to understand Vedanta. Everything we understand systematically, easily in this Vedanta Prakarana Grantha called Tattva Bodha. See, usually I thought of straight away starting the text. But again, I thought some of you are very, very new. Let me, usually my introduction to Vedanta itself go for 18 classes. Today I want to briefly say something so that I can continue with my text for next class. People who are very, very new can listen to my first 18 talks. Rajniji has recorded and put it up on the website. Because there I have elaborately discussed these purusharthas. Very, very elaborately discussed. It would be very nice if you can listen to those talks before you come to this Tattva Bodha class. At least 10 classes you can listen there. It will be useful for you. Because to be convinced how moksha is my choiceless end. So, Tattva Bodha. I'm going to stop the class now because I promised only 7 to 8. Once I start the text, I may make it 1.5 hour text class because 1 hour will be too short because to make you read the text and all that, we'll make it 1.5 hour class hereafter. I may change the timing to 6, 7 instead of 7, make it 6:30 to 8, I can make it. Anyway, I'll discuss and let you know. So, Tattva Bodha, the very text meaning of the text itself is what? Tattvam means the truth. Bodha means knowledge. Tattvam means the truth. Bodha means knowledge. Tattvasya Bodha. Two different words. Tattvasya Bodha. Knowledge of the truth. And make it a compound word. Tattva Bodha. Which means knowledge of the truth. So knowledge, the very textbook is what now says, knowledge of the truth. Tattva bodha. In fact, the word Upanishad also means knowledge of the reality. The word Upanishad also means knowledge of the truth. The Upanishad, the implied meaning of the word Upanishad is knowledge of the truth. So here, the word meaning is directly given. Knowledge of the truth. Tattvam. Na. Truth. Bodaha. Knowledge. Tattva bodaha. Tattvasya bodaha. Knowledge of the truth. So the textbook itself is called Tattva bodaha because it serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. The textbook, why is this textbook called Knowledge of the Truth? Because this textbook, this manual serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. Therefore, it is called Knowledge of the Truth. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.